This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Throughout the pandemic, many of us have adapted to communicating through screens for work, school, medical appointments, and even family holidays. As our next guest will tell you, though, video conferencing technology was something people who have experienced hearing loss or who are deaf have relied on for some time. Michelle Mendiola is manager of community outreach and advocacy at the Chicago Hearing Society. The society provides for communication access, hearing and assistive technologies, and support services for people who are deaf, deaf and blind, and hard of hearing. We had planned to bring you this conversation last week, but Michelle was communicating to us through an American Sign Language interpreter. Interpreters are in high demand, and when one did not arrive as planned during our live broadcast, we ended up taping the interview off air. I spoke with Michelle, who goes by Elle, about some of the challenges people who are deaf experience trying to communicate through masks and ways people who are hearing can help make things like Zoom meetings more accessible for everyone. As I mentioned, Elle spoke to us through a sign language interpreter, and it's that voice you will hear on the radio. Here now is that interview. Elle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here.
So I want to begin by asking you, as someone who is deaf, what are some of the ways that you communicate with people who are hearing and who do not know sign language?
Sure, okay, that's a good question. Well, let me give you a little bit of background. I grew up oral, which means I didn't know how to sign. And I learned sign later in life. So luckily I have that that skill. So I'm still able to speak with a hearing person, but I understand it needs to be one-on-one. If there's too many people, then I'm not comfortable doing that. I may write back and forth, or I may text with somebody. Or there's a speech-to-text program that I can use through my phone as well.
Interesting. So has the pandemic affected communicating for you with people wearing masks in particular?
Yes. Yes. With COVID and the pandemic, it's been pretty frustrating. There's already been a struggle having access with communication, and the mask just adds another layer of frustration on top of that. Now, you understand access to communication is not 100% anyway. So there's a struggle with that just on its own. And then if I were to go to an office and I need an interpreter, then there's not an interpreter there. You have to put in the request to ask for an interpreter. And then now with the mask on top of that, I do rely on lip reading and facial expression, and that mask just complicates that. A lot of things are difficult to discern, and there are clear masks available, and there's face visors that are clear. But even with that, lip reading isn't always 100% accessible either, because some words look similar on the lips. So it's hard to figure out what word it is. And so there's a lot of guesswork that goes into that.
And I would imagine not necessarily that many people are thinking about the need for the clear masks or clear personal protective equipment. Is this something that, have you used clear PPE yourself?
Yes. Yes. I have the face mask and the shield.
I wonder how
when I'm at work, I use the clear mask typically.
How does that work? Are people able to see you? Are you, when you encounter somebody wearing a clear mask or a clear face shield, does it fog up, or does that work well for you?
Well, it depends what company the mask is from. That's a factor. Or if they have glasses and a mask, then there's a cleaner that you can apply that will help reduce the fogging. So there's some things that work with that.
Oh yes, I think I've encountered that for ski masks and that sort of thing, or ski goggles.
Sure, and it's not a one-time thing; you have to reapply it.
Sure. I wonder if the pandemic has also, though, opened up opportunities when it comes to communicating. On our radio show, for example, we're using Zoom a lot now that we had never used it in the past. That's how you and I are communicating, through an interpreter, a sign language and interpreter on Zoom. I wonder if you're seeing new opportunities for communicating with people because of some of the changes that have happened because of the pandemic.
Well, the deaf community was already using video platforms well before the pandemic. So, we have a video phone, and we had other platforms available. And so we already had the knowledge of those platforms. One thing that is frustrating with Zoom, though, is that you have to get an interpreter, and then wait for the person. And so if there's a meeting that might happen tomorrow, and then we can call in for the interpreter, like we did right now. But I would rather have an interpreter on the same screen with Zoom instead of a separate screen, because I'm calling into Zoom on a different platform and then using Zoom with you. And I'd like to see the interpreter and you on Zoom, because now I'm looking back and forth between devices, because I have one screen with Zoom on it and one screen with the interpreter on it. And so it would be nice to have captions added as well. They should automatically be on instead of having to say, hey, I need captions, can you please put them on? It would just be nice to have it automatically generated and ready to go while you're using Zoom.
And is that a question of technology being there, or a question of the commitment of the people who are hosting the meetings to having a human being there who can transcribe and type things that quickly? Where is the hiccup in that?
Well, it's the person who's responsible for hosting that would need to set it up. So that would be the person who would host it would then be the one who sets up the interpreter and the captioning. Now, with the captioning, it's either a volunteer, someone on Zoom that could do it, or you'd have to hire like a third party to do it. And there's third-party companies like Caption.
Let me reintroduce my guest. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about some of the challenges that people who are deaf or who have experienced hearing loss are dealing with because of the pandemic, like being unable to read lips because of the need for mask wearing. But we're also talking about some of the ways we can think about making life more accessible through video conferencing technology and other means for people who are deaf. I'm joined by Michelle Mendiola, who's manager of community outreach and advocacy at the Chicago Hearing Society. She's speaking to us through an American Sign Language interpreter, and that is the voice you're hearing on the radio. I wonder if you can talk about some of the greatest needs now that the Chicago Hearing Society is working on, and how that might have changed, if it changed, because of the pandemic.
Well, since the pandemic, I've noticed that the need has increased. We get more calls from clients in need of support and advocacy because, for example, hospitals, they may be resistant to having people come in because of safety concerns, obviously. So they've been doing more virtual or telehealth type meetings. But if you go into the hospital, they'll say, no, you have to wear a mask. And there's a lot of explanation that goes in and a lot of advocacy for that to let them know that it's very important for effective access to the communication. I've just seen more of a need to explain and help advocate for people within for the pandemic.
Have you found groups receptive to those arguments now, or is it an uphill battle still?
Both. It's both. Some are receptive, some are not. It's still a struggle.
What are some of the things?
When you're used to having full access and being able to see the facial expressions, that's difficult to then also balance that with the safety required with the PPE. So then explaining that, and yeah, so there's some groups and that are receptive to that more so than others, but we're seeing a lot of requests from clients with asking for help with that.
The last thing I want to ask you about is what are some of the things that hearing people can do, both individually and people, I guess if you're in a position of power at a hospital or some other organization, that's one thing. But what can people do individually to be more inclusive of people with hearing loss or from the deaf community?
Well, in a perfect world, everyone would know sign language, but you know, that's not going to happen, but that would be nice. So I guess I would say just be more aware, be aware of deaf communication needs. And know that not every deaf person has the same needs. There's quite a variety out there of needs. Some people rely on sign language and some would prefer to write back and forth. And it's just there's a variety of people out there and there's not a one size fits all. So just being flexible and being aware to what communication needs would be, and then being responsible to provide those accommodations as needed.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. My guest has been Elle Mendiola. She is community manager and outreach coordinator for the Chicago Hearing Society. Thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
Great. Thank you so much, Brian.
That was Michelle Mendiola, manager of community outreach and advocacy at the Chicago Hearing Society.